Hi, everybody. I'm Lucia Moses. I'm the executive editor of Digiday, and we're here to do our weekly deep dive, where we go deep on a story we've been working on or an issue we've been covering. I'm here joined today by Max Willens, our platforms and publishing reporter. Hi, Max.
Hi, Lucia.
How's it going?
Happy Friday.
Happy Bagel Friday, as we call it here. This week you went deep on a topic we've been close to for the past few months. You wrote about subscription publishers and how they're working with the big tech platforms. What interested you in this story?
I think what came to me when I was thinking about finding a way to look at the relationship between publishers and platforms is the reality that we've spent the last couple of years at Digiday writing about the way that publishers have been using platforms to pursue scale, to grow their audiences, basically to inflate themselves as much as humanly possible. And for reasons that I think we'll get into later in this conversation, publishers are now really a lot more interested in a different kind of revenue pursuit. They're looking to drive direct connections. They're looking to grow subscriber bases, membership bases, in some cases seeking donations. And in the last year, a bunch of the platforms, Google and Facebook in particular, Apple and Amazon in different ways, have made a bunch of big efforts to make their platforms more hospitable to pursuing subscriptions. But I thought it would be interesting to look at just how valuable or just how integral publishers want platforms to be in this pursuit. I think a lot of publishers found themselves really badly dependent on things like Facebook and Google for their pursuit of audiences and their bottom lines. And in speaking to publishers for this story, what emerged was a real kind of ambivalence among them about just how involved they want platforms to be in this kind of new pursuit of theirs.
Wait, why are they ambivalent? Don't they want the platforms to do whatever they can to help them sell subscriptions?
I think that they would like all the help they can get. They certainly, for most of them, are new to this. And obviously, all of these platforms have effectively become the new portals. They are, as one publisher put it to me, they're the way that a lot of people access digital content of every stripe. And so the platforms are integral, but the platforms, as many publishers are fond of saying, are not their friends. They have their own business goals and their own priorities. And when you put yourself in a position of putting all of your eggs in a basket that can be moved or changed at any time, you open yourself up to risk. And, you know, there are plenty of examples of publishers, whether it's, you know, someone like a Little Things who basically invested all of their business in Facebook newsfeed, finding out that when that changes, that you are left in a very compromised position. And I think publishers are worried about that.
Left holding the bag, right, mm-hmm. Right. So we're just talking about subscription publishers, which is a kind of its own select group of publishers. What's the basic takeaway from your reporting on how, like, particularly Google and Facebook? You also talked about Amazon and Apple, but how Google and Facebook are treating subscription publishers, because they've been rolling out these very prominent features in the past few months and as part of this larger charm offensive with publishers.
I think, you know, to begin, you have to give credit where it's due. I mean, I think that it's fashionable among publishers to bash the platforms at every conceivable opportunity. But I think it's really important to point out that for Facebook and Google in particular, this is part of an earnest attempt. I mean, looking at Google in particular, the Subscribe with Google is part of a broad umbrella of initiatives, which is kind of being rolled up under something called the News
Digital News Initiative, right?
That's right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And this is something that they've committed to spending $300 million over the next 3 years to help on a variety of fronts. So not just subscriptions, but also improving news literacy, combating the spread of fake news, helping publishers figure out the analytics necessary to pursue subscriptions. It's a wide, wide swath of things. And Facebook isn't committing on that level, but they are making an earnest attempt to help particularly local American news publishers sort of get their minds in shape to pursue.
You think it's an earnest attempt? You sound sort of bullish on the platforms.
Well, I think there's. It's funny. It's all a matter of scale, right? I mean, the Facebook attempt. They launched this subscription accelerator program. They're about 15 publishers involved, and they committed to spending, I think it was like $15 million. That's real money that can help generate learnings that a lot of people can share in, but it's, you know, that's money that they find in the cushions of their couch. It's
totally
so
pocket change.
That's right. So it's funny. It can sort of be, both of those things can be true. You know, Facebook as a whole may not be deeply committed necessarily to, you know, overhauling the digital news industry, but even a small gesture like that can, you know, make a difference.
Where do you think the biggest opportunity is for publishers? Because I think, as you point out, on Facebook, people aren't necessarily going to Facebook to seek out news. They may run across it when they're there. Facebook has acknowledged this in changing its algorithm so that people, you know, news is a smaller portion of what people see in the news feed. On the other hand, it's an enormous platform that publishers can't ignore. So how do you size that up compared to Google, which is also an enormous platform, but it's also a place where people are actually going purposefully to seek out news?
Yeah, I think that last point is the most important one, which is that on Google, you have at least some measure of intent, which is, I think, more valuable when you're trying to drive subscriptions. It's easy to, if you're a publisher, figure out, I don't know, this person keeps kind of landing on our stuff after searching for a certain kind of story. Whereas Facebook, because there's no intent and it is just kind of whatever the algorithm puts in front of its readers when they open the app or visit their website, you really have to sort of treat it like other advertisers treat it. You have to sort of think of it as a place to target people with advertising or a place to drive direct connections. So I don't think anybody has a clear idea of how successful publishers will be in having people effectively like commit to paying for a subscription inside of Facebook, but Facebook is a good place to capture email addresses. So if you want to maybe lock somebody into a newsletter about a specific topic that maybe they wind up subscribing against later, it's a good place to do that. So Facebook is nearly a year into a test where you can use instant articles to gather email newsletter subscribers. Publishers have gathered over 10 million email addresses that way. That's worldwide.
Haven't a lot of big name publishers dropped out of instant articles?
They have. So this is the broader point, is that when you're committing to gathering subscriber revenue, whether that's in the form of subscriptions or memberships or whatever it happens to be, you have to think about the value of your audience in an entirely different way. Publishers got rid of instant articles because it was bad from an ad monetization standpoint. And, you know, that has really not improved that much. It's better from where it started, but a lot of the publishers that dropped out remain on the sidelines for that reason.
They can make more money on their own.
That's right. But if you decide, you know, a lot of publishers that are really into this have crunched numbers, and they've figured out, for example, that a newsletter subscriber is, you know, 5, 10, sometimes 20 times more valuable than somebody who just arrives at random from a side door of some kind. And so if you crunch some numbers and you figure out, okay, this kind of article is good at attracting newsletter subscribers, why don't we put an instant article version of that up on there, try to capture some email addresses and do it that way? So instead of an all or nothing approach, like the Washington Post, when instant articles was first rolled out, they put every article that they ever published up in instant article format.
And now they're not publishing much of anything to instant articles.
That's exactly right. But there are some publishers.
What a difference a year makes.
It's a fast moving business.
Yeah, yeah. All right, great. Well, thanks so much for chatting, Max.
Thank you.
And thank you again for listening to our deep dive.